If you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 3. This message will be preached in two parts, so I expect all of you back next week for the conclusion. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not, lie down again." And he went and laid down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down. And it shall be, if he shall call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called at other times. Now notice, he did something a little different this time. Said his name twice. "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Now if you would, go back to chapter 2 and verse 18. "But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod." Verse 26. "And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men." There's two other people that is said of: the Lord Jesus Christ in His humanity, and Paul the Apostle. The title of my message today is "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." I wonder, are you listening to the Lord today? Do you know what God is saying? Do you recognize His voice? Do you understand His Word and His leadership? The story of Samuel indeed is a remarkable one. His mother Hannah had been barren for many years, unable to bear children. She began to earnestly pray and travail before God in prayer, pleading for a child, for God to open her womb. And God answered her prayer. He opened her womb and gave her a boy named Samuel. Interestingly enough, back then, people looked at having children as a blessing, not as a curse. And it's entirely reversed in our culture today. But that's another sermon. Now, Hannah had prayed and promised God that her son would be dedicated to the service of the Lord. You can go back to 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 24. It says, "And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli, and she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him unto the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. What a great attitude as you raise your children. Lend them to the Lord. Put them in His care. Well, as a young boy, Samuel assisted Eli in the tabernacle. And by the time you get to chapter 3, you can see that this was a low point in Israel's history. It says there in verse 1 that the Word of God was very precious in those days. There had not been a vision. In other words, God was not speaking. And Israel was not listening. They had been in rebellion. And when God first spoke to Samuel, he didn't discern whose voice it was. He had never heard the audible voice of God. Finally, after three calls, Eli perceived that God was calling unto Samuel. Samuel followed the instructions of the aged priest and officially became the first prophet or seer in Israel. That's what he was called to do. But I think we see in Samuel a readiness and a willingness to hear and to hearken to the voice of God. I believe God's still speaking today. Not audibly, as in, He didn't say to me this morning, "Good morning, preacher. I want you to preach on, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." That didn't happen. It's never happened to me. I believe that God speaks to us through His Word. As the Spirit of God opens up our understanding, what is the Word of God? It's His final communication. Now, I believe God's still speaking through His Word today. In fact, what's sad is very few people are listening. When was the last time you actually opened up your Bible and read it, believed it, applied it, obeyed it? You see, people are, I want to hear God. Get in the Word. You want to hear God? You want to hear from Him? You better get in His Word. The thing is, we're living in an age where the Word of God is being printed, proclaimed, taught the world over. It's on the airwaves, it's on the internet, it's on sermon audio, it's all over the world. It's being preached by missionaries. Yet you look at the condition of our world. What's that tell you? God's speaking, but people aren't listening. They're not hearkening. They're not obeying. In fact, when you look at the declining morals, the doctrinal departures and disobedience among professing Christians, it proves that people today don't possess the same spirit and attitude that Samuel had. I'm going to ask on your behalf as your pastor that God will give you ears to hear. and that you will have an attitude like Samuel did when he said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." When you really start hearing from God through His Word, it's going to change your life. You're going to find that when you come to that place of submission and release and resignation to the revealed will of God, you're going to have to do things that you may not like, that may even bring you trouble into your life, if you obey God's Word. Now today, what we're going to study is the manner in which God has spoken to men since the beginning. You say, "Well, that's a lot of ground to cover." We're going to do it. In ancient times, God spoke to men in a variety of ways. And Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 says, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son." How did God speak to Adam? With His audible voice. In Genesis chapter 3, after Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God asked them a question. And it wasn't for God's benefit. He knew right where they were. But what did He say? "Adam, where art thou?" So God spoke directly to our first parents, Adam and Eve. We also know that He spoke to Noah in an audible voice. Turn over with me to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 13. "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch." God told him what to do. And he built a humongous ark. A replica of it is there in Kentucky. It's interesting to me how atheists operate. They have opposed Ken Ham and creation scientists from building that ark. Now, it doesn't figure in my mind. If you don't believe in God, if you say there is no God, why do you oppose Him? Why do you hate His Word? He doesn't exist. What's it to you? If a guy wants to build an ark that's a replica of the one in the Bible. You know what? Every culture has in their historical records some truth about the flood in the days of Noah and how God destroyed the then known world as they knew it, and only 8 people were saved. The ones that got on the ark. But God spoke audibly to Noah. What language did He speak to Noah in? Have you ever thought about that? You see, it wouldn't be long after that. And it says in Genesis chapter... Let's see, is it Genesis 10? "The whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And they conspired to try to build the Tower of Babel. And God came and confounded them." And several languages were spread throughout all the earth. That's why some people speak English, some people speak German, some people speak Spanish, some people speak Buffalo Creek. There's all kinds of different lingos and dialects. What was the language that God spoke to Noah in? They had one language. Was it Hebrew? I don't know. Doesn't say. Was it Greek? I don't know. I mean, the original manuscripts of the Old Testament, the Masoretic text that we rely on as authentic, they're written in Hebrew. The text of the New Testament is written in Greek, the originals. God spoke to Abraham in an audible voice on several occasions. In fact, it was God who called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees, out from among the heathen pagans that he lived with, and God promised him that He would make him a great nation. And Abraham went out and walked by faith. Now, mind you, back then, you did not have the written Word of God. You didn't have the manuscripts written, inspired by God on, not on what we would consider paper, but on skins of animals. God spoke to people directly. God also spoke through dreams and visions back in the Old Testament. Go back to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28, look at verse 12. It says, "And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of to thee. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." So God spoke to Jacob in this dream. And I don't have time today to go into all the implications of what was revealed in the dream. The point is, God formerly spoke to men in an audible voice, sometimes in dreams, other times in visions. The prophet Ezekiel and the prophet Daniel, they are both very famous for the way that God spoke directly to them through visions. Remember what Hebrews 1:1 says, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past by the fathers, to the fathers through the prophets." He also spoke through the prophets. When He inspired them to write and to preach the Word of God. Turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 23. Verse 2. "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God." So in the Old Testament, God spoke by audible voice. He spoke to men through dreams, visions, and through prophetic utterance, and through the written word that He inspired. Now, during the times when Jesus Christ came, and during the ministry of the apostles, interestingly enough, how is Jesus introduced to us in John chapter 1? Look over there. I think God is sharing with us the ultimate communication, the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Theos. The Logos was the Theos. God, the Son of God, who's called the Word of God, is as eternal as the Father because He was with God. He's going to be the one that is going to show you the express image of God. He is the Word that will communicate once and for all finality, the way of salvation. That's what Jesus Christ came to do. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything that was made. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So during the days of the earthly sojourn of Jesus Christ, God spoke primarily through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it have been amazing to be in that small company of believers, that ragtag bunch of fishermen, tax collectors? You know, I mean, I've often thought Jesus picked out the worst kind of guys. I mean, what do fishermen do? They lie all the time. You know, they catch a little bluegill and it turns into a pike. Just in a story. The fact of the matter is, Jesus was proving something. That He's the ultimate Word, and He can transform the worst dregs of sinners. And not only transform them, but use them to literally transform the world by preaching the Word. Now, in the book of Acts, which is a transitional book, it's showing you how God was working. It's a bridge, if you will. You got the Old Testament, the Law and the Psalms and the Prophets. And the New Testament is something entirely so revolutionary. God is showing folks now, I'm going to work through my Son and through the church that He established during His earthly ministry. Christ literally spoke to His church and said, go into all the world, teach all nations, baptize believers in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. God, the Son, the founder of the New Testament church, spoke directly to that first church and said, go out and make disciples. And lo, I'm with you always. There have been true churches of the Lord Jesus from the time that He started the first one up until this present day. We're one of them. We're in that holy succession. But during the apostolic age, he spoke through the means of miracles. How about Acts chapter 2? When God gave those unlearned fishermen and apostles the ability to speak in other languages. How amazing was that? And people understood what they were saying. It wasn't some charismatic gibberish. You talking about both? I thought you were true. You know, over and over again. It was a literal. They were evangelizing people. And people understood what they were saying. You know, men are the only ones that ever spoke in tongues in the Bible. You ever think about that? You say, oh, you're a... What am I supposed to be called now? A misogynist? Is that the new word for me? I'm not. I believe that men and women are equal. They just have different positions. Gifts, we are different. But God chose to raise up men to be preachers of His Word. If a man desireth the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. I don't believe in women preachers. I don't believe that God has ever called... And these women, they may do a lot of... they may say a lot of good things, but that doesn't mean they're called to preach. You want me to really blow your mind? Read 1 Corinthians 14. It says, let your women keep silent in the church, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. That's why you don't find women speaking out in our services. We're obeying that word. Say, well, if I would have known that, what am I doing here? Listen, folks, I don't preach to appease you. I've got to preach what the Bible teaches. And this is the teaching that goes all the way back to creation. So I'm not afraid to preach it. You can read it for yourself. And I've heard people say, oh yeah, but Paul, he hated women. That's a lie. You read the epistles, they exalt women. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. The writings of the New Testament literally liberated women. You look at societies where the Word of God is not prevalent and you'll find women degraded. We live in that kind of society today. Look at how women are denigrated by our culture. They're set up as by the marketing firms. They use their bodies and their looks to sell products. How derogatory is that? Have you ever listened to popular music? Rap music? How it denigrates women? I don't even know how I got on this. But when a culture fails to listen to God and listen to His Word, it will not be a civil culture. And we're seeing it happen today. People won't listen to God. But in the book of Acts, why did God use miracles and tongues and special revelations? It was to validate the mission and work of His church. That's why He gave people the ability to speak in what had formerly been an unknown tongue. Tongues in the Bible are always languages that can be understood. Somebody in the audience, the rules are, if you would speak in a tongue that people didn't recognize, somebody in that audience would have to stand up and say, here's what that means in your language. It wasn't some kind of emotional gibberish. It was actual words. But God used those ways to validate the work He was doing through His church. After the last apostle died, and the inspiration of the Holy Scriptures was complete, God no longer spoke to men by an audible voice, or by visions, or by dreams. Say, well, how do you know that? Because the Bible says it. Look at Revelation chapter 22. Verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now, God speaks in His Word. Say, well, now, preacher, I know God spoke to me personally. If He did, it's through His Word and the enlightenment of His Spirit. How would you recognize the voice of God to start with? What language did He speak to you in? God speaks through His Word. Now, a lot of people are not satisfied with that in our day and age. Listen, you want to know what God said? It's going to take some effort on your part, some diligence to open up God's Word. This is the way God speaks. It's through His Word. He's raised up preachers. What do preachers do? Do you think that every time I get a sermon that God talks to me directly and says, this is exactly what I want you to say? No. He leads and directs and moves me to go into His Word, to study the truth of it, and then bring that truth to you, praying that it'll open your ears, open your eyes, teach you the truth, and cause you to walk in it. It's all in here for us today. If I didn't believe that, if I believe that God today was just revealing Himself, I don't believe in continuing revelation. I mean, who then could say that what Joseph Smith taught and said is not true? Have you ever read about the founding of the Mormon Church? I mean, it's pretty out there. He said that the angel Moroni appeared to him at his bedside and then led him, gave him these giant spectacles and so that he could interpret these plates that he had found in the ground in New York. I'm preaching this thing off. And, just outlandish things that Joseph Smith claimed that God spoke to him. Same with Jehovah's Witnesses. I reject their claims. I don't believe they're true, because they're so far contrary to the Word of God. Jesus Christ is revealed as the Word, as God manifests in the flesh, and the only Savior of men. He taught us that salvation is only through Him, and His Spirit inspired the writers of Scripture to teach that it's all of grace. But you got all these people saying they've got direct revelation from God, and they don't teach salvation by grace. Somebody's lying. What's your attitude today? Do you say, "Speak, Lord, for Thy servant heareth"? Was there a part of you when I quoted 1 Corinthians 14 that wanted to punch me? You know, that said, "Let your women keep silence in the church"? Is he actually quoting that on a Sunday morning? When we have visitors? It's God's Word. Why should I fear that? Same with the doctrines of grace. In Sunday school, you ought to come to Sunday school. I'm laying it out as clear as a bell. The sovereignty of God and the doctrines of grace. It's in His Word. I'm not afraid to preach His Word. And what we've got to do, all of us, is learn to accept it. To have that attitude, "Speak, Lord, for Thy servant heareth." That's where I'm going to get to next week. If anybody comes back after this week. Let's all stand. Thank you.